DSW Construction versus Department of Labor, Mr. Dunn.
Morning, Your Honor, Counsel. My name is William Dunn. I represent the appellant, CFW Construction. Our position is that the ALJ in this case abused his discretion by issuing an order dismissing the contest of the fine by OSHA.
Could I just ask you why GFW didn't move for continuance if it couldn't comply with the discovery request on time?
They're ready to go to trial. We didn't think the interrogatories in this case were important because they could have been brought out at trial very easily. So I don't think they're really relevant. We would have been ready to go to trial on April 10th. Because it is a short, very short proceeding here in terms of time here. The AOJ set the trial date fairly early on, and the whole proceeding ended, I think, for about 6 months. Every 6 months there, and we feel that the ALJ is not a district court judge, even though the federal rules of civil procedure apply. We feel the court should take a harder look at especially procedural things that the ALJ does. Obviously,
but there's no general rule that says a pending motion, even a dispositive motion, can't be ruled on, even if a trial date or a hearing date, as the case may be, has been set. It seems to me you operate at your peril if such a motion is pending against you, unless you get some sort of decision by the court to defer ruling on it.
The Secretary of Labor had filed it in the meantime, a motion for continuance, which the court...
Well, that's right. But I mean, it's very understandable if you've got a pending dispositive motion and it hasn't been ruled on yet, and a trial date is coming up, and your discovery hasn't been responded to, that in order to cover all the bases, you're going to say, well, you know, we really don't want to go to trial without this discovery. Let's get a postponement without waiving your right to have a ruling on the dispositive motion. I think you'd really cause a revolution in the bar if you thought it can't happen.
Your Honor, we weren't really looking to continue the trial of the case.
You weren't.
You weren't responding to the discovery.
We would have been prepared to proceed at that.
But your opponent felt that it was entitled to have responses to these points and didn't wish to go to trial without them.
In our view, this is similar to a criminal case. It's an imposition of a fine, $11,000 based on the trenching. Yeah, according to the trench, you have to be a certain width and a certain height and shored up and so forth and so on. So it's imposition of a fine. And in criminal cases, obviously, there are no depositions or any form of discovery other than exchanging documents. There's no interrogatories there.
This is an administrative proceeding.
That's correct.
The fact is, the argument you're making assumes that litigants can't proceed this way in the administrative proceeding, and I don't see any precedent for this procedural theory of yours.
Well, also, we feel that the penalty is too harsh. Or he could have,
Did you make these arguments to the review commission?
We submitted a petition for discretionary review, as the court sees there, and basically
raised these arguments. But you didn't specify these arguments.
Set up our defense. Set up that we had a defense filed in our answer. And obviously,
did you make these arguments to the review commission?
We didn't have a chance to argue. We presented a written document.
Yes, I know. In your written document, did you make these arguments?
I referred to those.
Referred to them how? Did you repeat them and say the administrative law judge abused his discretion because he did this and that and the other thing?
Not specifically, but there's two paragraphs, even three and five.
Well, then how would they know whether your petition had any merit if you didn't indicate what your grounds were?
Because you're specifically objecting to the order that was entered there.
You can't just specifically. You wouldn't file a brief in this court in which you just said you specifically objected to an order. You'd give reasons.
It wasn't really a brief. It was a position for discretionary review. before the same commission.
Well, aren't you supposed to give your reasons in the petition?
Well, I believe we stated the reasons. I didn't set them out the same as we did in the brief here, specifically, or we didn't cite cases, obviously, but we did, I believe, set forth sufficiently so that they knew what our problem was, what we were objecting to.
That it?
One other point. The other side submitted a case, the Kohler case,
mm-hmm.
recently. I don't see where that is in the application. Or that was a motion to quash a administrative order was entered giving the Secretary of Labor, OSHA, permission to search the premises of the company there. And there was no proceeding pending at the time. There was no OSHA proceeding pending for a fine or anything else. All the court held was that in the absence of any pending proceedings, they have to wait till there's no harm being done here to them. So you have to wait till proceedings started, and then they have to exhaust their administrative remedy. So I don't see how that applies to this case whatsoever.
Okay, well, thank you, Mr. Dunn. Mr. Papadopoulos?
May it please the court, my name is Mark Papadopoulos and I represent the respondent, the Secretary of Labor, in this matter. We urge affirmance on two grounds, but I would like to address the second of those grounds, the appropriateness of the sanctions, and I would really principally like to make one point. We feel that the ALJ did not abuse his discretion in dismissing GFW's notice of contest for willful failure to comply with the court discovery order. But the point I'd like to emphasize is that the facts and circumstances of this case, reproduced in the appendix, really make this an easier case than the legal proposition might suggest that this is willfulness, bad faith, or fault. And that is, this is not a case in which, as this court said in Long versus Stipro, one innocent misstep within the context of an otherwise compliant litigant, and there were other distinguishing factors in that case, should not prejudice the party. This was a case in which DFW went completely silent for nearly the entire length of the case. Very little happened here. The secretary filed her complaint. GFW filed an answer, an amended answer, in December 2002. From the moment of the filing of that amended answer, GFW was never heard from again until this case was dismissed. GFW did not respond to the secretary's interrogatories propounded December of 2002. GFW was not heard from when the secretary not once but twice followed up with phone calls to see if the answers were forthcoming. GFW was not heard from when the secretary moved in court for an order compelling a response fully and completely, strict compliance within 5 days under threat of appropriate sanction. GFW did not respond to that. Indeed, GFW did not even respond when the secretary then followed up that order with a motion for sanction, expressly praying for dismissal of the case. GFW did not respond until the case was dismissed, Your Honors, and that's too late. Therefore,
I just wanted to follow up for a moment on this point about the meaning of the review statute, because it seems to me the review statute says no objection that has not been argued before the commission shall be considered by the Court of Appeals, basically, unless the failure or neglect to urge such objection shall be excused because of extraordinary circumstances. That doesn't sound like a jurisdictional statute to me, since there's that unless clause in there. So I take it you're not pushing that point?
You're right, Your Honor. We're not urging that point. If I may answer it this way, we believe this court does have subject matter jurisdiction. Under Section 11A of the OSH Act, this court has jurisdiction to review final orders of the commission within 60 days in the jurisdiction in which the alleged violation occurred. The alleged violation occurred here in Chicago, Illinois. Petitioner timely filed review from the final order of the commission on May 8th. This court has subject matter jurisdiction. However, I filed that case in the 28J letter in re Kohler in the interest
case,
of full
yeah.
candor on the tribunal that this court had in fact called that jurisdiction. Now, whether that's jurisdictional in the sense after Steel Company that you must answer it first, we're not urging one way or the other. We think you should answer it first, whether he is properly, whether he has preserved these issues. But we're not urging that as a whole, then.
Because you think you win anyway based on this sequence of events that you've already outlined.
Well, Your Honor, we think After Steel Company, there's been a lot of follow-up cases about what kind of jurisdiction is the jurisdiction necessary that can't be hypothetical. And we're not certain if this is that type of jurisdiction. This court used that expression, jurisdiction, in that Inree Kohler case. Didn't use it in the Globe Contractors case.
Kohler is pre-Steel Company anyway, when people were talking about jurisdiction quite differently.
That's right, Your Honor. And that wasn't really briefed in this case. That wasn't the sort of...
Well, I mean, if it's subject matter, if it goes to the existence of our appellate power to hear the case, we have to consider it anyway. But if the statute says no objection unless, then we at least have jurisdiction to consider whether the unless part exists. Right, unless there are these extraordinary circumstances.
That's right. That's right, Your Honor. And as I said, because we thought the court would want anything brought to its attention concerned its jurisdiction, that's why we filed the 28J letter. So that's right, it does have the extraordinary circumstances exception. It's also possible, though not applicable here, that a litigant has waived one but not all of the issues. So you've got subject matter of the case, but and you'd even have subject matter jurisdiction over one of the arguments, but maybe not the others.
Okay, thank you very much. Mr. Dunn, do you have anything further? Okay, well, thank you very much to both counsel.